Fast Eddie here at EAA Radio, and sitting with me here is Tater Schuld, and we're going to be talking today about home-built rockets. Hello, Tater.
Hi.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine today.
So, are you representing a group of people that want to build rockets, or are you doing this as a solo effort?
This is sort of a solo effort. I had a model rocket club when I was younger. One of the modelers said, well, why couldn't we build a manned one? And I thought about it, and then this is pretty much the answer to his question on that.
Okay, well, how far along have you gotten on your quest here?
We've built some scaled-down prototypes. We've decided on a design. We've built some scaled-down prototypes, and 2 weeks ago we did some test flights on some of the large ones and got some video of it, and I'm going to be doing a presentation on it with Oshkosh.
Very nice. Now, what are you guys using for engines and fuel?
Currently, the prototypes, we've been using standard model rocket fuel, but the final design will have a hybrid engine in it.
A hybrid engine. All right. Explain that.
A hybrid rocket engine is one that uses fuel components that are in two different states. On ours, we're using liquid nitrous oxide, and we're using solid cellulose for fuel.
Oh, very similar to the rocket engine they used in Spaceship One.
Yeah, correct. They used a solid fuel grain of rubber, but we're looking for something a little bit more economical.
Okay, yeah, tires get to be expensive after a while, not to mention preparing them and all that. So how far along are you with this?
We've gotten the 6-scale completed. We just did the test flight on that 2 weeks ago, and I'm still ecstatic about that. This winter, we're going to be collecting materials and supplies to work on the half scale. Then we're going to do the full scale, unmanned. And if the tests are successful, we're going to think about getting a manned certification for it.
That's great. What does it take to put something like this together?
You mean finance-wise?
Well, not just finance-wise, but talent, machine, shop, you know, the whole ball of wax.
All the skills that are required for doing this can be done at the Oshkosh workshops. The materials needed you can get just about all the materials out of the aircraft's booths, which has a booth down here in Oshkosh. And as for, like, square footage that you need, we're going to see if we can't get these built in a one-car garage.
So what is the sole objective? You're going to put a man, is this going to be a suborbital flight?
For what we're looking at right now, it's just going to be an atmospheric flight. The ultimate end goal is getting an affordable space program with possibly even all the way to the moon flights and having it affordable for everyone.
That is an ambitious goal, seeing as how we just celebrated the 40th anniversary of the first lunar landing. You know, there were obviously some technical issues and problems that the Apollo program have. They were fortunate enough, especially with Apollo 13, they had a way out of it. Don't you think it's going to be a little cost prohibitive to head for the moon?
For the moon, yes. But, I mean, you need to look at this as taking baby steps. And some of the initial baby steps on this, when they was doing it in the 1960s, cost them millions of dollars. And I've been doing the math on it, and I'm having a hard time getting it into hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, I'm having a hard time getting it past tens of thousands of dollars. So the technology has marched on and has cut costs on a lot of the systems that are needed for something like this a lot.
So in other words, what you guys are basically going to do is you're going to help, with the help of technology, you're going to be able to use a lot of off-the-shelf systems and everything, and you're going to duplicate the first Mercury flights, which, as I recall, were suborbital, and you're going to go from there.
About a half step back from the first Mercury flights is what we'll be doing, and if everything's really successful with that, yeah, we'll be doing a two-stage version, which would be the equivalent of the Mercury flights, and then if that works well, then we'll be able to do more multi-stages and even clusters, which will get us into the Gemini and Apollo systems. But that's a long ways down the road.
You've got a lot of bridges to cross before you get there. Where is your home base going to be?
Well, currently I'm building these in Medford, Wisconsin, which is about 3 hours' drive from Oshkosh. But when we're going to get to the big ones, there's a couple of model rocket clubs in the United States that have built rockets as large as what we're looking at, and they have flown them. There's plenty of desert parks where these rocket clubs fly at. So getting a site, a launch site, isn't going to be an issue. Construction doesn't look like it's going to be an issue. And, I mean, even for even up to where we do manned certification for it, it looks like that the regulations are all in place and that we could do it. We could pull it off with no problem.
So there's no real technical hurdles here. It's just you're taking it a step at a time, doing it through an orderly program, and then the culmination will be a suborbital manned flight with steps to follow.
That's correct.
That's going to be pretty wild. How are you going to pull all this together? What kind of people do you have on this project?
No one with any official training. One of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to develop this so that, like I said, every man could be able to do this. The skills that you need for doing this, you could pick up at the composites workshop, some model rocketry skills and experience.
Okay, well, that sounds good so far. Of course, you know, we all know that plans change and things sometimes go awry. What kind of technical problems have you had building these scale replicas?
Amazingly little. I mean, at my presentation, I will have the 1/6 scale, which is a 6-foot tall rocket that's about a foot in diameter. And anyone with any composite skills is going to look at it and go, how in the world did that fly? I purposely built it with a level of very poor quality because I wanted to see where the level of failure would be on something like this. And it flew well, and I built it with like substandard materials and poor construction techniques, and the thing flew well, and as far as I can tell, the half scale I'm going to build a lot nicer just because some of the learning processes with the composites while building this are going to build a better rocket, and I see absolutely no issues.
Have you heard anything? Has NASA been involved with this?
Nope. No, I haven't had NASA deal with it because it seems that, you know, NASA has their own ideas, and when they got the Mercury project up, when they went to the Gemini project, you know, they didn't do any further development of the Mercury rockets. In fact, Bert Rutan had a speech in 2003 about a private space program, and he mentioned how NASA, as they went up with the larger rockets, they didn't do any further development with the smaller rockets. So I'm just taking a step and continuing on to the development that NASA had stopped on.
Right, but you're taking a totally different path, whereas NASA was using liquid fuels and multi-stages. You're going with a one-stage hybrid, one-shot deal.
To begin with, yes, but the overall design, I mean, people that remember the earlier Mercury project, they'll look at this thing and they'll go, that's a Mercury capsule he's got on top of that. And yeah, that's what I based it off of. We are using a lot of the NASA documentation. A lot of it has gotten declassified. There's a full and complete equivalent of a pilot's operating handbook that is for the Mercury capsule. Every single system and subsystem that's in the Mercury capsules, you can find information about, and you can go and shop around and get the equivalent materials for it. So, as far as the capsule is concerned, we are going to be flying a NASA capsule. And the only thing that's going to be different is we are going to be using a different type of rocket engine, A, because it is safer, B, we will not need an explosives permit for using it, and C, it's going to be cheaper.
Well, that sounds very interesting. When do you have any projections or dates or anything planned where you're going to get this thing off the ground?
Probably in 3 years we'll have unmanned full-scale flights.
3 years. That's interesting. I remember as a kid I grew up watching the space program, and I think this is going to be something to keep an eye on. Now let me ask you this. Do you have a website?
Yes. It's www.littlejoeproject.com.
That's littlejoeproject.com. I'm talking to Tater Schuld here. Tater, it was good to see you. Good luck with your project.
Thank you very much.
And certainly hope to hear from you. I'll keep an eye on the website. I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.